soul. Let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storms of life is past, safe into
Well, amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. And they do a wonderful job. And we thank the Lord for their sweet spirit. Let's take the Word of God tonight, and we will go to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter number 31. Psalm chapter 31. So thankful that you're here this evening. And so grateful. How many men or boys were able to go to the men and boys camp out Friday and Saturday? Would you raise your hand? Good. We had a great time. And lots of fun there. A lot of guys fishing. We got ponds there, and we had tackle football. We made it through it, which is good. No injuries. And of course, we had skeet and target practice, and guys on four wheelers. You know, ladies, that's why I'm saying it's very safe out there. All right, and so it's just all good and a lot of fun. So we're thankful for that. I really enjoy that time to be with the men and the boys, especially around the campfire. Just sitting there, and it's dark, fire going, and preaching the Word of God. It's really a great opportunity, and I'm trusting God to do work in the hearts and lives of all these men and boys. I can remember just when I was young, going to something like that, and God using it to speak to me, and I never forgot those things, so I pray the Lord will do so. Well, this morning, I chose to preach about, we talked about the life of Jacob, and the faith life of Jacob, and how that in the book of Hebrews, as we are studying through on Sunday mornings, we came to Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, which the Bible mentions there in Hebrews chapter 11, about the end of their life and how that they had faith in God for their dying. Meaning, at the very end of their life, they were trusting God. They finished the journey well. Well, tonight, I believe the Lord has led me to preach on this subject, the life you have left. None of us here tonight know how long we have to live. We like to think that we will live to a certain age. But the life that we have left, we're not dealing with the past. Because that life is already, we've spent that part of our life. But the life that we have left, what will we do with it? Will we live a life of faith? You may say, well, Pastor, I've made some mistakes in the past. We all have. But what can we do about the past? Nothing. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a great blessing. But what will we do with the life that we have left? We come to Psalm chapter 31. I want to set the background before I read the first 16 verses together. David is dealing with his son Absalom. And Absalom has rebelled against his own father. Now, I don't know that there is a greater hurt than hurt in the home. And David is dealing with the hurt in his home with his own son. And David comes to a point to where he says, my times are in thy hand. And I believe what David is saying, God, the life that I have left, I want to live it for your honor and your glory. You may think this evening that, well, I've lived so much of my life. And for many of us, a lot of our life has already been lived. But folks, as long as there is life to be lived, we can live it by faith. And we can live it to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. Let's come to Psalm chapter 31, and let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was approached among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. You know, when I find David writing this, there's a lot of things we need to understand. In fact, when David is writing here in verse 11, when he talks about, I was a reproach among all mine enemies, David is referencing the sin in his own life. And David is talking about his sin and how that his sin has robbed him of the blessings of God. And yet David could say, God, my times are in Thy hands. You know, so often we think that as long as we are just doing exactly what we are supposed to be doing, that God is going to work in our lives. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God is in the business of restoring us, forgiving us, cleansing us, and allowing us to make a difference with our life. Tonight, I want you to think of this subject, the life that you have left. You say, Pastor, what is the life that I have left? Well, the life you have left between the moment you hear this message and the moment that you meet God is the life that you have left here on this earth. We are not created to live eternally here on this earth. We're only going to live for a certain amount of time. God has that appointed time for us. And the real issue tonight is not what you have done with your life, but the issue tonight is what will you do with the life that you have left. And tonight I pray that God would help us. Would you join me in a word of prayer? And let's pray together before I preach this message. Father, I stand before You as a needy preacher. And I need Your help this evening. Father, would You open our understanding? I pray the Spirit of God would, Lord, work in our hearts tonight. Would convict us, but would strengthen us. And Lord, would challenge us and comfort us this evening. Lord, may we leave this service determined by Your grace to live the life we have left for Your glory and for Your honor. Guide us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many would be honest tonight to say that life seems to go quicker and quicker? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? I didn't think that when I was a young person, you know. Life was too slow, you know. I wanted to hurry up and get my license and hurry up and go to college and then hurry up and finish college and all those things. But life rushes by like a bullet. I mean, it really does. In fact, during this life that we have lived, the world, the flesh, and the devil work hard to cause us to place the emphasis where life should not be placed. You know, by the way, the devil is not trying to get you not to have any emphasis. He's just trying to get you to place the emphasis where it doesn't belong. You know what? There are things that are not eternal that sometimes we give so much attention to that we are wasting the life that we have left. I think we need to think often about what is eternal. We need to think often what is going to last longer than us here on this earth. The life that we have left. Number one, I want you to notice some things about David. I want you to notice his trust. David put his trust in the Lord. Now we know that this psalm was written during a great time of crisis with David and going through the hurt with his own son Absalom. I mean, David loved Absalom, and yet Absalom literally had turned his heart away from God and was rebellious against his own father. And David was dealing with this son who was living in rebellion, and so much that Absalom even sought to overthrow his own father's house. Think of that. But look back in verse number 1 in Psalm 31. He said, In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. David was putting his trust in God. And let me just be honest with you tonight. We all trust something. We do. We might trust our own intellect. We might trust our own financial security. We might trust our own wisdom. But we all put our trust in something. And David is declaring, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." He's saying, "God, I am trusting in You." And folks, tonight, the great breaking point for each and every one of us is where God brings us to the end of ourselves, and we must trust Him. You know, my daughter's in college right now, and we enjoy talking with her and doing the FaceTime and all of that, seeing her. And of course, my sons enjoy that, you know, and terrorizing our, you know, their sister from even a distance away and all those different things. And every time they answer the phone and she's on there, they ask the first question, "Do you have a boyfriend yet?" That's the first question they ask her, you know. Aren't you thankful for brothers like that, you know? And just giving her a hard time. But the other day, well, in fact, Friday night when we had the men and boys camp out, I just returned my vehicle after the tackle football and spared my life. Thank God for it, you know. And but I came back to grab my Bible. We're getting ready to have the service. And my phone started ringing, and it was Abby, my daughter. And so I picked it up. And of course, you know, as a parent, I'm like, "Abby, what's wrong?" You know, that's the first thing. You know, how many parents understand what I'm talking about, all right? And that's my first question. You know, is anything, everything? "No, Dad, it's okay." "All right, fine. Okay, what do you need?" You know, and so, but we talked for a little bit. And of course, she began to cry a little bit and just, you know, having a tough time, homesickness and dealing with some things. And, you know, I told her this. I said, "Honey, this is a time for you to trust the Lord." I said, "When you're with Mom and Dad, you know, Mom and Dad can kind of help you and take care of things in certain ways. And but now it's you and God. And you must trust the Lord for yourself." And folks, you know something? That's good for all of us to understand. Sometimes in the matter of crisis, in the matter of discouragement, we want to rush to someone or something. But the Lord wants us to trust Him. And David is declaring, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." God has brought him to the end of himself, and he is having to trust the Lord. He must trust God. He must put his faith in God. I said this morning, and I want to say it again, you will either live by faith or you will live by force. Now, I've lived the force life, trying to force your way and make things try to happen and try to manipulate things. We've all done that. But the faith life is depending upon God. It is trusting the Lord. Folks, tonight, we either trust Him or we don't trust Him. And David is declaring, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Look in verse number 2 of Psalm 31. He declares this, "Bow down thy ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me." You know, when I read this verse, "Bow down thine ear to me," I love it. It's a beautiful picture because it's almost as if David is a poor, weak man on his back. And he is saying to God, "Lord, the only thing I can do is speak. I can't do anything else." Have you ever been there before? You can't do anything else. You cannot figure it out. You cannot work it through. God's bringing you to a breaking point. And David is saying, "God, put your ear, dear God, close to my lips. And listen carefully as I speak." We have lots of little children in our church, and I love it, you know. And oftentimes they just come busting in my office. They know where the treasure box is, and they know where the candy is, you know. And that's all right. I have it there for them. But, you know, sometimes they'll begin speaking to me, and, you know, they're talking to me. But there's a big difference from here down to there where they're at. And you know what? Sometimes I have to just get kind of a little bit lower into where I can get right into their face and I can see them closely and I can hear what they are saying. Well, I think David is saying, "God, you're my father and I'm just a poor, weak little child. And God, would you bow down your ear and get it close to my lips and let me speak to you because I don't even have the energy. I don't even have the strength to be able to shout it out to you. Bow down thine ear to me." That is trust. That is declaring our absolute dependence upon God. Folks, that is the way that you and I should respond in trusting the Lord. You know something? Our prayer life is really the Christian life. You want to judge your Christian life tonight? Look at your prayer life. Because prayer is declaring my absolute dependence upon God. David says, my trust. Number two, his trust. But number two, we notice his trouble. David has some trouble. Let's go to verse number 7, if you would, please. And I want to show you some things about David and his trouble. Verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of the Lord tonight? He said, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversity. Now, I want to stop before I read on here, but folks, I want you to know something. I love that passage because David is saying, thou hast known. He says, considered. He has considered my trouble. God considers our trouble. Are you in trouble tonight? I'm not speaking necessarily of being in trouble with your parents or trouble with the law, but there is trouble that has come to your life. Trouble. It troubles your heart. It troubles your mind. Do you have trouble? Well, God considers your trouble. It is not unknown to Him. David is saying, thou hast considered my trouble. You know, so often I will talk to people in our church and they will share something with me. And you know, often I will say, I'm very sorry, I did not know. But God can never say that to you and me. You know what? Sometimes we think we have to make God aware of what's going on in our life, but He knows all about it. He knows our trouble. He has considered our trouble. Look what it goes on to say. He says, "Thou in verse 7, thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities." Do you know there's one thing tonight that I do not know? I don't know your soul. I can't see it. Now, I can see your countenance, and there's times when I think some of us, we do not hide our problems very well. We kind of wear them on our countenance. I think many of us are like that. And you can see there's something going on there. There's heartache. There's discouragement. There may be despair. But David is saying here, you have known my soul in adversities. You know, it reminds me that people come to our church every Sunday and Wednesday, that they deal with things that they never share about. They never tell anyone about them. Maybe they're too personal. Maybe they're, as we would call it, an unspoken request, as we might give. But God knows your soul in adversities. He knows what you are dealing with. He knows the heartache. He knows the disappointment. He knows what we think about. This morning, I chose Psalm 139, and I read that chapter together. I love that chapter. And there the psalmist talked about how that we could go anywhere and the Lord is there. He knows every detail of our life. He knows the thoughts that we think. But David even said, thou understandest my thought afar off. You ever thought about that? God knows what we think about, but He knows why we think about it. He knows the very purpose behind our thought. And then even David said, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows our words before we even speak them. Folks, that is our God. He considers our trouble. He is scoping it out. And by the way, the Lord is, He is the master architect in every one of our lives. He allows nothing but for our good and for His glory. Everything goes through His loving hands. He considers our trouble. He knows our soul in adversities. Let's go down to verse number 10 because I want you to see this. Now David is referring to his sin here. Notice what it says in verse 10. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. Think of that. David sighing. He's sighing. Why is he sighing? There's a sigh of sin. Did you know that? He goes on to say this. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. If you were to study the life of David, you know that David sinned with Bathsheba. How that David took another man's wife and he committed adultery with her. And how David tried to hide the sin and David had the man killed. David created murder. He was a thief. He stole. I mean, all that David did, and God said, the sword shall never depart from your house. You know what David is saying? Now that Absalom has turned his back and Absalom soon will die, can I tell you what David is saying? Yeah, my sin. In fact, many commentators believe that when David cried out, my son Absalom, my son, David could have said, my sin, O Absalom, my sin, my sin. And David says here, my strength faileth because of my iniquity. Do you know that sin robs you of strength? I believe it robs you of physical strength, but more importantly, it robs you of spiritual strength. Sin had made David a weak man, and sin will always make you weak. It'll rob you. Oh, the devil is so good. The devil invites us to sin. He says something like this, come on, this is wonderful. Now take this into your body. Allow this into your eye gate. Allow this into your ear gate. And when life comes crashing down, he stands mocking us, saying, what a fool you were to listen to me. But even after, and I want you to hear this, even after you have fallen into Satan's trap, I want you to know something tonight, that you can still call on God to deliver you. Now listen, there are the consequences of sin that the Lord does not take away. And by the way, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You will reap the consequences of that sin. But here, Psalm chapter 31, we are reminded that God is still in the business of restoration and mercy and love, even when we sin. And David said, God, you know my trouble, and you know why I'm having trouble. You know my soul in adversities. Let's look in verse number 11. Because 11 through 14, I want you to remember something. This is the testimony of a life without God's blessing. David writes this down. This is a diminished life without Jesus Christ's blessing upon our life. Look what he says in verse 11. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. In fact, that's a testimony. Folks, you ought to think about what you will lose if you do not follow Jesus Christ. You know what? I have tried to do this, and in my heart and my mind, I've tried to imagine what it would be like to have to sit down and apologize to my wife for some sin in my life. I've tried to imagine that. I've tried to imagine what it would be to sit down and ask forgiveness from my children. I've tried to envision that in my mind because I think that's what David is saying here. He says, I was a reproach. He was saying, I was like a broken vessel. That's what sin does to us. And may God help us to live in the fear of God day by day. No, we are not perfect people. But may God help us to walk close to Jesus Christ and to abide in His presence. David talks about his trouble. He talks about his trust. But number three, and the last thing tonight, and this is kind of where I wanted to get to, he talks about his times. His times. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes talks about seasons. We're in a season right now, physically speaking, and the weather is changing. Have you noticed? And now, I had someone tell me, and it was kind of funny to me, and they were very true on the Men and Boys Camp Out. We usually do it earlier in September. And this year, just because of things going on and the renovations and all of that, we just moved it a few weeks into October. Of course, you know, just early into October. But usually when we go to the Men and Boys Camp Out, it is hot. I mean, hot, hot, you know. Last year, I think it was 90-something degrees. I mean, you know, when you're trying to have a fire with 90 degrees, it just kind of gets a little warm, you know. And we're just sweating about and all that. Well, this year it was much different. In fact, that fire was very much appreciated, you know. The sun went down and all that. And I was preaching. Nobody, you know, they, during the time of preaching, we just set aside that time. Well, the fire kind of went down because the preacher's kind of long sometimes, you know. And the men said, boy, Pastor, I was cold by the end of that message, you know, and all that. But I said to one of the men, I said, you know, I kind of like this being a little cooler. And they said, Pastor, it's the first time I've ever heard you say that you liked cold weather, you know, and just cool weather, right? Not cold, you know. But, you know, the seasons change, do they not? Soon it'll be cold. Soon the snow will come and all of that. Seasons come and go. But there are seasons of life. And God knows all about those seasons. Ecclesiastes talks about a time to weep and a time to dance and a time of mourning and a time of death, a time of birth. We all go through those seasons. But God knows about our times, our seasons of life. And what David is doing here, he is saying, okay, God, I've failed you many times. Lord, I've sinned against you. And Lord, I'm like a broken vessel. But the rest of the life that I have, the life that I have left, Lord, I want it to be for your glory and honor. And folks, no matter how old you are or how young you are this evening, we ought to determine by God's grace that the life that we have left when this message is over until the day that God calls us home, let us, by God's grace, be a life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ, a life that has the emphasis on eternal things. Listen, I cannot change the past, and living in the past, you're going to ruin your life. It's like trying to drive down the road looking in the rearview mirror. You won't make it that way. And all of us have done that. But may God help us, the times, the life that we have left. What should it be? Well, David gives us a list. And I want you to look at this list. Psalm 31. And let's begin in verse number 15. Remember what he said. He said, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. He's saying, God, I put it in your hands. My sin and all of it. But he goes to verse 16 in the very first thing that David talks about. He says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Number one, how should we live the life that we have left? Number one, seek God's favor. You know what David was saying here? He was saying, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Basically, David was saying, God, I want your smile. I want it. I want your smile. Very first time I preached in our church, I was scared to death, you know, just a very young person. But I preached. I said everything I knew in about 5 minutes, you know, that was it. But I remember, you know something, honestly to me, it really didn't matter to me what my friends thought. Or what even people in the church thought. But it did matter what my dad and my mom thought. And I remember after that message was over, my dad put his arm around me. My dad's a very tender man. And he began to cry. And he said, son, I'm so proud of you. I'm going to tell you something. That was all I needed right there. I just wanted his favor. I wanted his smile upon my life. You know what David was saying? David was saying, God, for the rest of my life, all that I want is your favor. Now, brethren, tonight, whose favor do you want? Do you want the favor of man, the blessing of man, and people to think so well of you? That's great, but that's not really the best. Listen, you know, I think all of us would admit that there's times when we thought so well of certain people, maybe we grew up with, and then later on we found the truth about their life. And the truth about their life was they were not men and women of integrity and honor. And David is saying, God, you know, I've had the favor of men. I've had the favor of a kingdom. I've had the favor of all that. But I want your favor. I want your smile upon my life. Folks, I'll be honest with you tonight. And I mean this. And God knows I mean it. I would rather have God's favor than anything else in this world. In fact, I believe to be able to stand before Him one day, and we all will stand before Him, and to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Is there anything better than that? Is there anything greater than that? God did not say, well done, boy, you were liked by so many people. He didn't say that. He's not going to say, well done, you made a lot of money here on earth. He's not going to say that. Well done, thou good. And by the way, we can only be good because of Jesus Christ and what He does in our heart and lives. And faithful servant. You know what God wants? Faithfulness. And guess, here's the great news about it. We all can be faithful. We all can be a faithful servant. Folks, I am convinced of this more than ever. God doesn't need important people. He needs servants. You know that a servant has no rights of his own? You know that a servant is just here to please? A servant is there to serve? That's what a servant is to do. And God wants us to just be that servant. Seek God's favor. Can I tell you something tomorrow? Seek His favor at your job. Young people, seek God's favor in school. Seek His favor. God sees everything we do. God knows every place we go. He knows every thought that we have. Seek His favor. Seek His smile upon your life to where David has lived a dishonest man. David has lived a deceitful man. David has hid his sin. And I believe that's why David says, first and foremost, God, I want Your favor upon my life. If nobody else thinks well of me, but if You do, that is all that matters. And I'm going to be honest with you this evening. That is the greatest thing that we could have, is the favor of God. Number two, not only the rest of our life, the life you have left, seek God's favor. Number two, look what He says in verse number 17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Number two, not only do we seek God's favor, but secondly, be unashamed. Now you say, what does that mean? Folks, if you want to live a bold Christian life, there's boldness that God wants us to have. You must make things right with God, and then you ought to make things right with people that you have offended. You know something, you cannot have boldness for Jesus Christ and knowing that there's sin unconfessed or people that you need to make things right with. In fact, I just left the home of someone that is going to pass away soon. We know Eileen Weckstein. She knows the Lord. She gave a clear testimony this afternoon when I was with her. And you know what? She wants things to be right in her life. She's going to meet Jesus soon. I've been with many people on their bedside, and they want to make sure that everything is right. Not because they're afraid they're not going to go to heaven. They know the Lord. That's settled. That is secure. But they want to be right. And folks, listen, let's not wait until the end of our life, but let's live unashamedly day by day. Nothing to be ashamed of. I wonder tonight, are you afraid of your mom and dad finding out something about you? You're not living unashamedly. Are you afraid of something your spouse might find out about? You're not living with an unashamedness. Oh, listen, we ought to live not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never be ashamed to take a stand for the Lord. But David has said, I was a reproach unto all men. David was saying, I lived for a while with shame in my life. In fact, it was almost as if God could say, David, shame on you. My mom used to say that to me. I didn't like to hear that, you know. Shame on you, son, for the way I'd acted. Shame on you for the way you treated your dad or the way you treated your sisters. Shame on you. And you know something? I think sometimes we ought to say, Lord, shame on me for the way I've been living. But to live without shame, not ashamed. In fact, the Bible talks about the righteous. I spoke a little bit about this to the men. They're bold as a lion. There's boldness when you're right with Jesus Christ. There is boldness when you know that you're close to God and you know that there's nothing hidden in your life. There's a boldness about you. And that's where David was saying, I couldn't be bold. And by the way, sin robs you of boldness. Did you know that? It takes it away. So seek God's favor. Be unashamed. Number three, notice in verse number 19, This is what the Bible says. Let's go to Psalm 31 and go to verse number 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. The fear of God. Number three, fear God. Seek God's favor. Be unashamed, but fear God. By the way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. The fear of God. The fear of God is not being afraid of God as we would be afraid of something that we might fear. But the fear of God is knowing that God sees me. You know, this the school that we have, I thank God for these children. And we have a lot of fun with them. And I always like going in the K-5 classroom. Those are cool. They're just cool kids, you know. They laugh at anything I say, too. That's why I like them, you know. And I'll go in there and goof off with them. And they're honest, too, you know. One day I came in there this week and I'd been caulking in the renovation. And I had caulk all over my hands. It's hard to get off. And I said, hey, what do y'all think of my hands? They said, it's ugly. That's what they said to me, you know. And I said, no, it looks great. They said, no, it doesn't, you know. And they're just real honest about it, you know. And I just like that about them. But, you know, these children, you know, they know what it is to fear their parents. They do. They know what it is to fear the principal. All right. Brother Armacost, he's a dangerous man. But anyway, all right. I'm kidding. All right. They know what it is to fear. And when I walk into a classroom at times, most of the time I'm in there to goof off and... This past week, I was doing something to the kids, and teachers got on to me. Oh, it's Pastor. Okay, Pastor, it's okay. All right, but anyway, you know, I might get sent to the principal's office, you know, so that'd be kind of bad. But there's something about a child that fears the authority in their life, and they should fear that. There should be a reverential fear that they know that, hey, they could be in trouble. But you know something? We should live day by day with the fear of God. Look, if you can be men and women who fear God, that'll keep you right with the Lord. God sees me today. God knows the thoughts I think. God knows what I look at. God knows what I listen to. God knows the conversations that I have. God knows it. We live in His fear. We want to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to know and love the One who gave His only begotten Son for us. Fear God. And then the last thing, number four, look in verse number 23. David said of Psalm 31, oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Not only should we seek God's favor, the life we have left, not only should we be unashamed and fear God, but number four, love the Lord. Love the Lord. Folks, there are certain things that I am to do because it is my duty as a child of God to do them. But I want to find a higher motive than duty. You know, there are certain motives in life. There's a motive of fear. There is a motive of duty. But the greatest motive is the motive of love. That's the greatest motive. As a child, there was times when I did the right thing because of fear, you know. Fear from my parents. My parents believed in spanking and disciplining. And I thank God for that. I deserved every one and some of the ones I didn't get, you know. But there was a part of me, I didn't do certain things because I was afraid. My mom was going to find me and she's going to beat me, you know. I mean, you know. And when I grew up in Tennessee, there were spankings and then there was whoopings, all right? And I'm going to tell you, spanking's one thing, but a whooping, that's bad, brother, you know? My mom said, you're getting a whooping. I mean, that was like, you know, tear the house apart, killing me, you know, that kind of thing, you know? But there was a part of me that I feared. I mean, I did, you know? But then there is another level of just duty. I'm supposed to do this. And I did it because I'm supposed to do it. But love is a great motive. Love is the best motive. That's why Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. You know what Paul was saying? I'm not serving Jesus out of duty. I'm not serving Him out of fear. I'm serving Him because of His love has gotten a hold of me. Folks, it's not our love for God. It's His love for us. That constrains us. That captivates us. That encompasses us to where we must serve Him. I do not know how long you have to live. I do not know how long I have to live. But the life that I have left and the life that you have left, can I encourage you? Seek God's favor. Can I encourage you to live unashamed, not ashamed of anything. Fear God and love God. May God help us tonight, the life that you have left. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe tonight that I'm speaking to people who love you. I'm speaking to faithful Christians this evening. But I pray tonight that we would be reminded that we're going to come to a close of this life here on earth at some point. And Lord, may we know tonight that we cannot change the past. We can't undo it. But you have forgiven and cleansed it and buried it in the depths of the deepest sea. But Lord, the life that we have left, Lord, may we live it for your glory and honor. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would be honest tonight? And I want to kind of begin with this by saying, Pastor, there are things in my past that I really have a hard time getting over. And the Lord has dealt with me tonight about things in the past. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? That's me, preacher. That's me. Amen. Amen. Tonight, how many would say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I've forgotten that there is a life that I have left and I want to live it for His glory and His honor. Lord, you want to make the most of the life that you have left. How many would say, that's me, Pastor? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Thank you. God has given you life. May we live the life we have left for His honor. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to pray with you, and then tonight, it could be, tonight could be a great turning point for you. It really could be. Because tonight you could say, Lord, whatever I have left, it's yours. And I want to live it for your honor. Let's pray. Father, bless this invitation as it is given. And I pray that we would respond in humility and we would respond in obedience. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving and cleansing. And thank you for giving us the story of David. Even in his sin, Lord, he put his times in thy hands. Lord, may we do the same tonight. May we give the past to you and leave that in your hands. And may we, from this day forward, live the life we have left. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's take our hymnals tonight and we'll go to hymn number 480, Only One Life. Tonight, we only have one life to offer the Lord. Let's live it for Him. Hymn number 480. Brother Dan's coming to lead us. The Lord has dealt with you. Would you leave your seat and come? And let's obey the Lord.
Only one life to offer, Jesus my Lord and King. Only one tongue to praise thee and of thy mercy sing. Only one heart.
Amen. Very good. We're so glad that you were able to be here tonight. And I know we had a family visiting come to visit Brother Stevenson, and he's not even here. You know, that's terrible of him doing that. All right. Well, we're glad you're here on their way back to Indiana. And may God help us this week to be faithful. Pray. We need the prayers of God's people. And I want to encourage you to pray. Let's pray for one another. Pray for Pat Martin on Tuesday, and let's just commit all this to the Lord. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we do pray you bless us as we go about our times this week. Lord, may we commit our times into thy hand. May we live the life we have left, Lord, with seeking your favor, with not having any shame and fearing you and loving you. Bless, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If some of you men can help Brother Armacost right over here, we'll put the chairs up and put the tables. Lord bless you. You are dismissed.